You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Turning your Bibles to John chapter 7. I feel very calm today. It's a strange sensation. Usually I'm a little more hyper. It's not that I'm tired. I'm just calm. Maybe it's the peace that passes understanding. I don't know what that is. And it's a sunny day. I was very happy to wake up and see blue sky, and all the squirrels came to feed. It's kind of weird. Like I just opened, this is how my wife has trained our animals. Like I opened the sliding glass door, and the blue jays come, the pigeons come, the squirrels come, and they just look at me waiting for me to feed them something. So I feel obliged to do so. We've been talking the last few weeks about liquid love. And just to reiterate it once again, for those of you who have not been here or those of you who are short in memory, this really began while I was at our Global Summit Conference, which is our global leadership conference that we hold in Pasadena, California every April. And our apostolic father, Che On, he's a friend and he's a father and he's an evangelist and he's an apostle. Like he will evangelize anywhere. We'll go out to dinner and he's evangelizing. The waiter will, you know, be in a cab and he's a evangelizing the driver. Like he's just sharing the love of Jesus and he's so calm about it. You know, we do like power of it. Like we're going to talk about power evangelism when Ken Fish is here. Like sometimes we make it a little more complicated than what it needs to be when it really just begins with love. How do you love someone when you're out there? And so he was speaking and he talked about Charles Finney relating about his initial power encounter with God, and he equated it with this term liquid love. And you know, me being a good son that I am, I fact-checked him, because I fact-check any, especially at a prophetic, like, you know, River Stream conference, you got to fact-check everything, you know, because we'll hear something and we just say it because it feels good and it's nice, but that doesn't mean that it's true. And so I like to I trust, but I verify. And so I you know, sat there and immediately, you know, I got all these quotes from Charles Finney. And so I began to look deeper and it just encouraged me to look at the encounters that revivalists have had throughout history and even going back. So I've been kind of going from now backward and also from first century church forward, reading different accounts of the power of God moving on people, through people. Even, you know, I haven't gone past 600 AD yet, but even in 600 AD, there's examples, there is record of eyewitness accounts of the power of God moving not just on a person, but upon people. And it's been really good doing this series because I've had different people come up to me and say, you know, I've been in Christ a long time, but I need this encounter. I need an encounter with God. I, you know, I've talked about different encounters that I've had. The first encounter with God I had was when I was in the crib at 2 years old. I still remember it. I remember the room. I remember everything about it. I just didn't have language to articulate what was going on. So I just started crying because I was overwhelmed. And my mom came in and I just was like, you know, I didn't know what to say. But I remember the moment in my life. I had different power encounters with God growing up where I was just saturated in his essence, in his beauty, in his love, in his heart for me. But it wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that I realized, oh, I love this God back. And it was in that period of revival, you know, where I know I'm doing revival meetings and I'm leading worship. And at that point, it had been a couple years. And, you know, I was doing a Christian radio show at the time. And the guy who was sort of the producer, the owner of the show, if you want to call it that, he was sitting there. And I walked in and I said, man, Rich, I got to tell you, I love God. Like, I feel like emotionally, I love God. Not I've been committed. I've been steadfast. I've been serving. But for the first time, I realized I really love God. That's what an encounter will bring to you. That's what liquid love will bring to you. You know, Finney also talks about electricity. It was like electricity going through and through him. You know, for us to believe that the gifts ceased at the dying of the last apostles or the canonization of Scripture, we have to discount hundreds of years of revival history that is clearly detailed, not only by the revivalists themselves that we generally accept, like Wesley, like Finney, Evan Roberts, William Seymour, but we also have to discount the eyewitness accounts of others who are in those meetings. God wants to move in power, and God is not the problem. If there's a problem, it's in our hearts. But it's so quick to align yourselves, guys. Again, mercy's new every morning, grace sufficient for you, love endures forever. If you walk away with, and that's not even in my notes today, but if you walk away with anything today, mercies are new every morning, that's an excuse breaker. Well, I don't know, I just gotta clean myself up. No, you can't clean yourself up, just receive his mercy. His grace is sufficient, I don't know, you don't know what I've done, and his grace is sufficient for you. And his love endures forever. So we're really actually without excuse. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness according to our knowledge of him. So if you know him today, you're without excuse too. I'm without excuse. I love excuse breakers in the Bible. I love it because it makes me realize that I am capable of so much more than where I'm at right now, because he still wants to transform me from one level of glory to another level of glory. So today, we want to talk about you. But not just you, it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. And you literally carry the current of the river of God that flows from his throne to you, but more importantly, through you. If there is perhaps a mistake that was made in the revival movements in the 90s that we're still sort of living out today, and maybe it's too strong for me to say that it's because of this revival movement, but we so individualized our encounter with God. And the reason why we did that is because everybody was so busy looking at someone else's manifestation. You know, God would hit someone over here and they might do something weird. I remember a guy in a businessman in a three-piece suit that was hit with the power of God, fell on his face, and then was just crawling on the floor. And I'm looking at it like, what in the world is going on here? I couldn't get out of my own head. And so we had to try to figure out how to get people to be focused on God and not on the stuff that was going on around them. But the unintended consequence of that was we created an environment where we made me the end of the story. And so, you know, the river of God comes to me. What's my destiny? What's my call? What's my individual? And your individual call, destiny, your individual river, whatever it is only powerful to the degree that you're joined with the we. And that is, I could chronicle that. As a matter of fact, I have, and maybe we'll do that series on sacred community again someday, but I've chronicled from Genesis to Revelation that yes, we have an individual relationship with God, but it does not trump, it is not over and above our corporate relationship with God and with each other. And so when people say it's just me and Jesus, or you know, I don't need the church, I'm done with church, or I don't go to church because man always gets in the way. Well, God is probably putting that man in the way to test your heart, to see, are you willing to walk through someone that you are, walk through a moment that you've had with someone that you deem as lesser faith. Now, whether they are or not, that's up for debate. But even if you deem someone as being of lesser faith, are you willing to still love and stay connected with people that you might even disagree with? That's the power of alignment. I don't agree with everything that Cheon does. I've been under a lot of leaders where I don't agree with everything that they do, but I understand the power of alignment, and I understand the power of honor to the degree that I'm able to honor that which I become familiar with. God will also elevate me, because he says, now I can trust you with the things that I want to pour out. So there's a river that comes to you, but the design is to be released through you. And honestly, if everybody in this room would leave this place today and then Monday through Saturday make the decision, I'm gonna release the river everywhere I go. And not like, it doesn't mean they have to be weird. Doesn't mean you have to manifest in the street. It doesn't mean you have to wave a flag in the street or swing a sword or any of that stuff, but you're just releasing the river, which is marked first and foremost by his love. If we all just made that determination that this is what we are going to do, not only would this church be transformed, but the Church of Jesus Christ in New England would be transformed. Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
You better believe it. You better believe it. Because you carry the current. You weren't saved just to be filled. You were filled to overflow. Even that concept, like we can unknowingly get into the selfish state that we think the overflow is for me. The whole point of the overflow is that that overflow spills out on everybody around you. So they walk up to you and they say, hey, why are you so weird? And not because you're dumping bottles of water over people's head at church, but because you love, like you're just marked by love. Has been a while. I saw it coming out of the corner of my eye. I took a step away. Yeah. See, Maybell did that to me. See, I have experience. When I see Maybell walking around with a bottle of water, I back up. You are not just a recipient of God's love and power. You are his conduit. I love that idea of conduit or transducer, right? So microphones have a thing in them. It's called a transducer. And when you speak into it, it vibrates and emits a current. That current is then sent and digitized. Now, it used to be analog, but it's digitized so that it turns into zeros and ones. It's sent to a receiver that is tied to the soundboard in the back that sends it to an amplifier that amplifies it so that it can be heard by you at an amplified state. And I like loud sounds. That you are the transducer of God. That is the design. He wants to speak to you, and it might be a still small whisper. And he does do that. I'm all in on the thunders and the lightnings and the roar of the Lord, the Lion of Judah. Like, that's where I live. And so there might be some periods in my life where I might miss the whisper because I'm waiting for the roar. But the whisper was there to test the heart. Doesn't mean that God always speaks in a whisper. You know, the God of glory thunders. He strikes the ground with the sound of his voice. He transforms, you know, individuals, towns, cities, and nations by the power of his word. And he wants to do it through you. And so he holds you before him, and he speaks his life into you so that you begin to vibrate on the inside, from the inside out, that emits now this spiritual frequency that is now passed through an amplifier, so that when you go, it's not just here, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that there's this amplified state of his word and the word of his power everywhere that you go. And so that space is kingdom. I don't care where you are. You could be here in Natick, Massachusetts on a Sunday morning, or a village in Africa where they've never seen a white dude, and it feels the same because you carry the essence of the kingdom, and the vibration of his voice is being amplified through you today to the degree that you will allow it. I'm not feeling so calm anymore. I'm starting to get hyped up. So John 7:38, it says this. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It is not optional. The belief is optional. And when I'm talking about belief, I'm not talking about believing that Jesus existed. There's a lot of people that believe that Jesus existed, but they dumb down what he said so that it can fit into their worldview and their paradigm. He is not interested in fitting into the worldview or paradigms of man. He is interested in blowing yours up so that you can fit into the worldview and the paradigm of the kingdom. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There no one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other name by which man can be saved. It's Jesus, Yeshua, the anointed one. And when you believe in that Greek terminology, that word belief implies trust. It's not just being a buddy of God. You know, I don't know, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, it was popular to say that Jesus was my homie. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's an aspect of that somewhere, but you have to relate his hominess to the king who's on the throne in Revelation 4. When he is revealed to John, the beloved, when John is exiled on Patmos, John falls on his face as though dead. That's the essence of who Jesus is. Now, Jesus then picks him up and says, hey, I got some things, you know, get up. I got some things to tell you. As a matter of fact, every time we have an encounter or a mountaintop experience, like we think that it's gonna last forever. We want it to last forever, but that is experience is brought to you so that you can take it down the metaphorical mountain of your life, bring it into the valley and make straight the path for the coming of the Lord, even in the desert land. Some of you are trying to get out of the very place that God has called you to be because it's not fun. Deserts aren't fun unless you like that sort of thing. I don't know, I like oasis, palm trees, and water and Caribbean and all of that. And Bar Harbor was nice too. We were there a couple weeks ago, even though I wanted to go to palm trees. I just couldn't figure out how to get a palm tree trip to fit in my schedule this month. But so that's what I like. But maybe you like deserts. It makes you a little bit weird. That's fine. But you're trying to get out of the very place that God has called you to be when he's saying, hey, that's where the voice cries out. That's where I'm calling out, and I'm calling you to be there to create a pathway where I can bring a river, I can bring the water, I can bring the word, I can amplify my word through you. I can speak into you like you're my handheld microphone, and now the sound of my voice will go out over the land just because you are willing to receive what I'm giving. Yes, Lord. And not just receive, but release. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Do you have rivers of living water flowing out of you? Or have you constructed a dam in your soul that holds the water back? Maybe it's negative past experiences or fear or the constraints of your bloodline. Look, the cross broke those chains 2,000 years ago. You just got to look down and realize, oh, I'm not actually constrained by that anymore. I'm not actually held back by that anymore. That infirmity doesn't define me anymore. So now you just got to step out of those chains into freedom and put his word and his voice and the river on display for everyone to know. Yes. Or are you afraid that people will know who you really are? Well, stop that. It's a river. Jesus doesn't say a trickle. He doesn't say a pond. He says river and rivers of living water. That's the language of overflow, impact, and movement. That is what we are called to be and what we are called to do. We are called to overflow, impact, and to be in a state of movement in him. Like, I know there's a lot of teachings out there on rest and all that. Look, yeah, I think the first generation teachings are good, some of them, but then we spin off because in churchianity or in our stream, we're so pressured internally or externally, it doesn't really matter to me where the pressure comes from, but we're so pressured to have quote unquote fresh revelation that we so easily begin to teach our way into error because we want to bring something fresh. I don't really care about bringing something fresh. I want to bring something old. I want to bring something 2,000 years ago into the now, because when Jesus spoke his word into the atmosphere while he walked the earth, that word never falls to the ground void. I can access the words of Jesus as if he spoke them today. That's why I like doing the Lord's Prayer, because we can actually access that thing by faith as if he was speaking it for the very first time in our midst, because that's how powerful the word of God is. Does that make sense? Overflow, impact, and movement. So Charles Finney goes into the woods, a lawyer. He comes out changed by God. He emerges and becomes one of the greatest revivalists that this nation has seen. And he says this, "The Holy Spirit seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves of liquid love. It seemed like the very breath of God. I wept aloud with joy and love." If that were to happen in a lot of churches today, they would say, oh, that's emotionalism. We're supposed to be emotional. We're just not supposed to be led by emotion. We're led by spirit when we bring our soul under the dominion of our regenerated spirit, which is the space of wisdom, communion, and conscience. It's a place where Holy Spirit dwells. The essence of Jesus is there, the Spirit of Christ within us, and the river flows from that spirit. When our flesh and our soul are under the dominion of that space, now it's in a sanctified space so that when God moves upon us and we weep with joy, we weep, you know, maybe because we're in repentance or whatever it is, like I'm a weeper. I wish I was like, you know, when Toronto was going on, people would laugh. They call it holy laughter or whatever it was. I wish I was that guy, sort of. It was a little weird for me, but I just weep at the beauty of the Lord. When I see beauty, it brings tears to my eyes. That's what I do. And so I did a lot of weeping. Then a lot of people thought I needed like inner healing because of my dad or my mom or whatever the case was. No, my dad is right here. Don't you see? The beauty of the Lord. If God can release love like waves, then you and I were born to be the shoreline. And he crashes into and flows through the shoreline of you. It's high tide, baby. You better get ready. You better get ready. So what do I want to say about this today? Point number one, you are a conduit, not a container. Yes, okay, you're a container. But you're a container that's to be poured out. It means you translate what heaven is pouring out and you release it on earth. Many believers stop at infilling because we love the glory. I've seen people, night after night, even in like those tangible moves of God, revival meetings, people coming, they move, they shake, they quake, they fall down, they leave unchanged. I don't really care if people manifest or not. I don't. My goal is not to see something happen on someone's physical body. My goal is who are they gonna be 3 weeks, 3 years, and 30 years from now. That's what I'm looking for. When I travel and I speak, which I'm doing a lot less of that now, thank you, Jesus. But when I do that, it doesn't really matter to me what happens in the moment. It matters to me the messages I get 2, 3, 4 weeks down the road. Is there still relationship down the road? Is there still an unfurling of transformation down the road? Because that's the authority of God being released on earth. There are some cities in the book of Acts where Paul would go into, and you know, on the forefront there would be signs, wonders, and miracles. And there's some cities where there's no record of signs, wonders, and miracles. But sometimes I think in our pursuit of the things of God, we lead with power instead of leading with love. And so our self-worth is created by demonstrations of power instead of being loved as a son and daughter. I understand because it takes a few to contend for the extreme to bring the masses out of the mundane. That's just history. And so I understand that there was this push to believe and to lead with signs, wonders, and miracles because the church had been devoid of it for so many years, at least the Western civilization church. And so I understand that, but at the same time, I think we may have mistakenly created an environment in charismatic churches or prophetic churches where we were looking at people as being our next charismatic guinea pig rather than being moved with compassion and broken by love over the infirmity that was upon someone and really moving out of that love and compassion to see someone healed. Now, I was sick in 2007, and two of my intercessors came up to me weeping. They're like, you just gotta be healed. We've gotta see God move. I started to feel bad for them. I mean, I didn't want to tell you what I weigh now, especially after that Bar Harbor trip. I had to do a wedding yesterday. That suit, man. It was painful. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was concerned for my well-being. And I was so concerned about like a wardrobe malfunction. I rolled up like my nicest pair of black jeans because that's the only suit pants I have. Like that's it. Like I got that and I got jeans. I almost just wore the black jeans because I was so I rolled it up and I put it in my little bag just in case. You know, if something pops or something happens, like I go back and do a quick change. But once you're in the ceremony, like It's it. You're in. So I'm like, oh, I'm like interceding. God, you know, but not too hard because I got to hold everything in. Yes, sir. See, this is why you need to be here and not watching online, because you miss the things. So I don't know. I felt very infilled yesterday. But God is looking for people to become outflowing. That's why we do, like, look, we've got to stop with the mentality. I'm not saying you guys. I mean, just saying general churchianity. But we got to stop with the mentality that we're coming to church on a Sunday morning to be entertained or to feel good or to get our goosebumps or to check the box off of our you know, Christian card and say that, you know, we went to church. We've got to come and get filled and get in the discipline of releasing it even when it's uncomfortable. Because what I'm telling you, the testimony of Jesus will begin to pop as soon as you start releasing that river. And I don't care how weak you feel or how immature you feel. Look, the best evangelists I've ever known are the ones who've been saved for like a week. Because they just like, oh, this is what we do. We're going to go do it. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. I actually feel the fear of the Lord on that verse. Because I feel like I've run across too many ministers that feel like the power belongs to them. I was talking to my friend Jeremy Nelson. You know, we used to do a lot of meetings together. And there was a season of time, you know, from like, I don't know, for us it was about the summer of 2007. I can tell you exactly when it started, July of 2007 until sometime in 2009. And we would see crazy things like, I had a 6-month period where I would have gold dust appear on my keyboard while I was playing, while I was leading worship. And I did one meeting with Jeremy Nelson. It was actually in Worcester. And we saw like 30 or 40 gold teeth pop in one meeting alone. One lady, like, she couldn't believe it. We actually showed her in a mirror the gold teeth that, because she had one, I guess, gold cap molar, but she left with three. And we showed it to her. She screamed and ran out. I never saw her. I mean, there was a lot of people in the meeting. She might have come back, but I never saw her again. I don't know what happened. But we were talking about that time, and he was telling me, he's told me this story a couple times, and he said, you know, there was a time that came, and it was around 2009, 2010, and the Lord said, you're starting to do this under your power, under your own power, instead of under my direction. And so I want you to stop. And he stopped because he understood this premise to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. When power flows through you, it's very easy to feel more validated. It's very, I'm telling you, the human condition is such, it's so easy to feel like now you are more than, and you're just, you are a son and you are a daughter, whether there's these expected demonstrations of power or not. It can be a marker of something that God wants to work on you in your heart and in your soul, but I'm telling you, there's no greater power than love. And if we're leading with love, then, maybe just then, the word might show itself true that signs and wonders will follow and we won't feel like we have to lead with it because we're so focused on loving that we're not even giving thought to the signs and wonders until they happen. Maybe. Acts 1 verse 8 says this, you will receive power. Somebody say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses. Now, what does power look like? I would say that power number one looks like love. Power number two looks like boldness. Power number three then looks like it might be tongues. It might be prophecy. It might be healing. It might be manifestations of the unseen realm appearing in the scene. That might be it. But the initial evidence for me of power is love and boldness. Above all things is love and boldness. Because it's probably later in my notes here, but you could speak in the tongues of men and angels, but if you don't have love, you're not anything. Love is at the core of what we do. Love is the liner to the container that is you. And love is the wine that you pour out everywhere that you go. God never meant for you to be a reservoir. He made you a riverbed. His presence isn't here for Sunday goosebumps. I like goosebumps. It's kind of cool. I mean, I like the physical manifestations. Sometimes I wish I would like fall more or like shake and quake more, but I already told you, I don't do that. I cry. So if you see me crying, it's like, you know, the beauty of the Lord. But his presence is to you and through you for daily release. I haven't gone whitewater rafting in a long time. I know the men did, I think last year. They're probably gonna do it again this year. You guys doing it again this year? You're not going? What, was it scary? Oh, you didn't go the last time? Why aren't you going? If you go, well, all right, if you go, I'll go. No, I don't know if I want to say that. No, I don't, I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it, you know, because I can't swim, but they give you a life jacket. It's okay. All right. I retract that statement, edit it out. Okay. No, maybe I would go. But, you know, what they do is a lot of the rivers where you go whitewater rafting, you know, it's a nice little river, but there's a dam. And then they make a decision, we're gonna release water. And now what became like this nice little river becomes a class 5 rapid. If you don't know what a class 5 rapid is, like you better know what you're doing when you're in a class 5 rapid. I mean, I've seen people get thrown out of a boat in a class 3. Well, to be truthful, I saw a guy get thrown out in a class 1 too. I don't even know, like we had barely even started. We hit like one little thing and he got thrown out and he was done for the day. He fell and got cut, the guy's rocks, is like, I'm out. He just walked his way to the shore. That's how you know like how little the river was actually moving at that, because he could actually walk to the shore, like that's what he did. But a class 5, you better know what you're doing. You are designed to release a class 5 rapid river of living water everywhere that you go. Because when that thing gets released, like you're going where the river is going. Like that's just the way that it is. And a wise navigator in the boat will know how to get you from point A to point B in a safe manner. But it doesn't stop the river. You're a class 5 rapid. Somebody say, I'm a class 5 rapid.
I'm a class 5 rapid.
There's power in your words. I don't know. I hope you guys speak declarations over yourselves. If you don't, like we'll train you to do that. Maybe I'll do it like I send out, if you're not on our, in our systems, like I send out a text every Wednesday and just a short 3 minutes with PDG, although this week was 4 minutes. I couldn't get it to 3 minutes. So I don't care. It's fine. It costs the same whether it's 3 minutes, 4 minutes, doesn't matter. Stuff costs us money. But, you know, maybe we'll do a little series on declarations, because I have a whole file in my note program that's all declarations. And you know, I go through times where I forget to do them, or I just get, you know, sort of nearsighted and blind in myself. But when I get into that rhythm where I'm speaking these declarations that are fashioned from the Word of God over my life, it's fashioned from the Word of God and revelation, but it never violates the Word, to be clear. It opens up everything in my life. It opens up my life spiritually. It opens up my life physically. It opens up my life financially. Like just crazy things happen, and it begins to rewire your brain in the way that you think. The Word of God is true. When we're called to have our mind renewed, one of the ways that you do that is reading the Word and declaring the Word over yourself consistently and out loud. Because again, there's something that happens in the frequency of your voice when words are released, and you even hear the own words, the words that you're speaking to yourself, you start to believe. It begins to change the way that you think, to change the way that you respond, and change the way that you operate from day to day. So that's why I have you say sometimes some things out loud, like faith, like, you know, I'm a class 5 rapid, because maybe when you leave from this place, you'll believe that I'm a person of faith. Remember Hebrews 10:39, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we're a people of faith that preserve their souls. When you say that, you might actually believe it, and you might actually start operating that way when you leave this place. But sometimes it takes time, because that is the weapon that we use to tear down strongholds in the mind. We're not casting out strongholds. It's not a demonic problem. I was watching a short, I don't know, sometimes you come across those live videos and it was a prophet, and like the first 1 minute, the devil was mentioned like, I don't know, like I'll be hyperbolic because that's what Guidry's do, but like the devil was mentioned like 25 times. I don't think I ever heard the name Jesus. We love to talk about what the devil is doing. The reality is I don't really think the devil's doing all that much. The problem is right here. And when you begin to speak and declare the word over your life and you begin to war with the promises of God, it becomes a weapon that starts to tear down the strongholds in your mind, which are systems of logic that are based upon lies that you believe to be true, but they're not true. But we all have our negative past experiences and, you know, our traumas or whatever the things that we, you know, we get triggered. I get triggered when somebody uses the word triggered a lot. Because I'm like, well, this is what the Bible says, take captive every thought and make it obedient to the voice of Christ. It doesn't, there's really no provision for being triggered in scripture. Okay, get healed, do all the things, do all that. We got people for that, which is great. But, you know, if you get triggered, it's just something, it's an indicator in you that something is not yet submitted to Jesus. So we'll give you grace, yes, but you know, some people will use that word and they use it as an excuse for their behavior. There's no excuse. His divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness. It's just an indicator of something that's not submitted to Jesus. So let's find that thing submitted to Jesus so that you can renew your mind and then operate with greater kingdom efficiency than you ever have before. Does that make sense? Good. So I'm not bashing you, but don't talk about triggering or anything. I don't like that. Okay, daily release. William Seymour. Now you gotta understand the miracle of William Seymour at Azusa Street because he's a black man that sparked revival in America. And not only that, he brought unity among the cultures because they began to realize that when Jesus is in the room, we are unified. When we stand in Jesus, we are unified. Every tribe, tongue, and nation is unified in kingdom. That's why when I travel, like I'm not worried about the culture of the land. I'm more concerned about bringing kingdom culture to earth. I don't need to hear about your culture. It's not relevant to me. It's heaven on earth. That's what's relevant to me. And so far, it's worked out pretty well. I don't feel like I've offended a nation yet, but maybe I have. But they keep asking me to come back and then speak online and do Zoom meetings and all that. So William Seymour, Azusa Street, early 1900s, people would fall to their knees and begin weeping before they even enter the building. The glory flowed through surrendered people. It's a firsthand account. I witnessed this even in Rhode Island in 1996, 1997, 1998. People would step out of their cars and just be hit by the power of God and just fall to the ground. And not, look, there were no catchers. They would just drop and half of the parking lot was at that time was just dirt. Like it wasn't even really nice. And they would be weeping under the presence of God. Romans 6:13 says this. Present yourselves to God and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. When you are an instrument in the hands of the artist gets to decide what sounds he plays, what music he plays. The artist gets to decide what it looks like. When Jean gets up here and when she's playing her viola, the viola doesn't tell her what to do. The viola doesn't get to decide what sound she's gonna play. She's the one that causes the bow to move across the strings in a way that causes them to vibrate in the way that she desires. Because it's the instrument in the hands of the master. There's too much criticism in churchianity or religiosity of what God is doing on those who present their bodies as members of righteousness or instruments of righteousness. You are the instrument of God. You better start letting him play your heart. So stop disqualifying yourself. You are qualified today. If you said yes to Jesus or you're about to say yes to Jesus for the first time, you are qualified today. God's river flows through yielded vessels, not perfect ones. That's why I feel like some of the best evangelists I've ever known have been saved for like a day, a week, because they're in a state of yieldedness. They haven't had their souls thickened by disappointments or, you know, some people call it church hurt or whatever. And I know like real things happen out there that people get, but I don't have time for that. I have time for this. I have time for what God is doing in this house and in this region. And I know what he wants to do here, guys. I know what he wants to do. I know what he's doing on the earth right now. We've got to catch up to what he's doing. And I'm looking at a body of mostly mature believers. People, you've been doing this for a while. The question I've been asking each week, the last few weeks, have you been educated beyond the level of your obedience? We are so filled with information, but it's time to release the water into that class 5 rapid. Stop disqualifying yourself. God's river flows through yielded vessels, not perfect ones. And pray this dangerous prayer. God, I give you permission to flow through me at the grocery store, at work, and even at the gas pump. Let your river flow. Number 2, love is the most supernatural force on earth. You want to lead with signs, wonders, and miracles? You want supernatural? Love somebody. Watch what love does for the hurting. Some chase power alone and lose love, but real power is anchored in love. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong. If I have all faith but have not love, I am nothing. Love isn't the emotional side of revival. It is the engine of it. Evan Roberts, the leader of the Welsh Revival, wrote of people falling to their knees in public streets, not from preaching, but from the weight of God's love being poured out through intercession and worship. Colossians 3:14 says this, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So before you pray for power, ask for his heart. The power will follow the love. Before praying for healing, ask the Lord, show me how you see them. Because maybe the healing for the physical infirmity will be unlocked first by the healing of the heart. That revelation will activate more faith than any formula ever could. And number 3, this is what you walk away with today. God's love wants to flow through your life daily. Not just to you, but through you. As a matter of fact, his love can still flow through you even if you wake up cranky. And I've told stories about that, you know, personal testimonies of sometimes it's like, I know when I wake up really cranky, that's the day that God's gonna bring some divine appointment in my path. Oh, amen that. Frustrating. I'm probably a little bit cantankerous by nature, but his divine power has given me everything I need for life and godliness by his love. Revival is not an event. I've been to some meetings that were called revivals and there was no revival going on, guys. It's a lifestyle of daily surrender and overflow that begins with you. There's so many people here right now that you still carry the spark of revival. And the word of Paul to Timothy was kindle afresh the flame put in you by the laying on of hands. He didn't say, well, Timothy, when you come back to me, I'll blow on you, I'll wave on you, I'll pray. He said, no, you've already been given it. Kindle afresh that flame put in you by the laying on of hands. You got it, do it. Well, I'm depressed. I don't have a job. I don't have this. Kindle afresh the flame put in you by the laying on of hands. Do it.
Do it.
Just do it. Okay, Isaiah 58:11 says this. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire, and you shall be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. You were not meant to occasionally splash. I see greatness in this room every time I stand up. I do. But you were meant to live as part of a tsunami wave of his love on earth, and he flows through you. If you do not release the water, the river that he has in you, it won't just weaken your life, it will weaken the lives of those around you. It's on you. Mariah Woodworth Eder, I don't know if you know this, I know some of you do, but she actually preached here in Framingham in 1890. You can actually go to the library or whatever, you can look it up, you can find the articles. Sometimes she would preach and people miles away would fall under the power of God. Some saw visions, others were miraculously healed. I guess women can be in ministry. Who would have thunk it? She was arrested in Framingham in 1890 for practicing medicine without a license because of all the healings that were claimed by her ministry. And then there were so many testimonies of the people that came out to her defense saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. They released her. But what she carried wasn't hype. It was liquid love in motion. Psalm 23:5 says, my cup overflows. Not just so that I can have an overflowing cup, but so that I can leave a trail of his blood that was shed for us everywhere that I go. What love is this? Sometimes I think we've duped ourselves into thinking that overflow is rare. It's not rare, it's a promise. So again, if you're not overflowing, God's not the problem. That only leaves one problem. There's so many things I could say there. What is that old saying, you know, get under the glory spout or get under the spout where the glory pours out? I don't know, I feel like that's something you would say. Yeah, I don't know, I thought I'd get it from you. I don't know, maybe it was Lisa. Overflow isn't rare, it's promised to those who dwell in him. Start praying bold prayers when you get up in the morning, especially if you feel cranky. Lord, let someone encounter your love through me today. It's an introvert's nightmare. But God doesn't care about your personality type. Your personality type is not an excuse. It's an opportunity for God to use the foolish things to confound the wise. Look for interruptions and see them as divine appointments. Guys, I confess that's really hard for me. Because I like to map out, I have an expectation of how my days are going to go. And when they don't go that way, I can get triggered. Lay hands, speak boldly, cry freely, but live revival. You don't have to wait for something to come that's already here. Start living it today. So now you are commissioned as current carriers. The current of the river flows through you. Whatever word you wanted to use, commissioned, ordained, certified, you're a current carrier. When you say yes to Jesus, day one, rivers of living water. Yielded life, rivers of living water. And see, that's the issue with me is I have a pride issue. Because of the way that I structure my day, if it gets interrupted, I have a hard time yielding to the Lord. Pride dies in the fire. Pride gets left at the cross. Pride has to be submitted each morning because that's where his mercies are new and his grace is sufficient. So today I commission you to go out, hearts on fire, hands ready to heal, voices bold in truth, and eyes filled with love. You are not waiting on a move of God. You are the move of God. Got a worship song we sing every once in a while. We, you know, what is it? We need a move. We are here for you. I don't know. It's something about that. You are the move of God today. Like, there's only so much I can do, but there's a lot that we can do. You can wait for a program. You can wait for Ken Fish to come and tell you how to do it. You can go from conference to conference. I know conference junkies. They just go from conference to conference to conference, and they love to do their conferencey things, but Monday through Saturday, ain't nothing going on. Unless they're at a conference, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And still, the reality is nothing's really going on because maybe we've been educated beyond the level of our obedience. And now we're going to make this declaration. And I want you to apply faith to this like you've never applied faith to anything before. Like, I want you to lean in, and you are going to prophesy over your body, your mind, your soul, and your spirit right now. Say it with confidence. I am a vessel of God's liquid love. I carry the current. I live revival. And the river flows through me. Let's do it one more time. I am a vessel of God's liquid love. I carry the current. I live revival. And the river flows through me. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would breathe in this room, God. Lord, would you release your fire and your glory, your power and your anointing in a way, Lord, that maybe we've never even felt before. God, would you increase the capacity within us to contain more of you?
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.